Welcome to Australian Women Preach, a podcast that aims to raise women's voices in preaching the gospel. Our intention is to model the church we want to be, inclusive, diverse, and welcoming. Brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. For this Palm Sunday of the Passion of the Lord, a recording was made on country in the Kimberley. First Nations women Bridget Drummond, Shirley Quarisiman, Francesca Isiguchi and Pepita Predgelge are in conversation with Diana Jans, and we enter into a reflection of Jesus journeying towards his death.
Going on that journey with him, that reflect on me with Mum. I went on this journey with Mum. Mum was getting ready to die. She had an illness. She was a dialysis patient and she wanted to be with family again. That's always the case. I came back down and getting ready, myself ready. I look back and it was just the little things she was doing. I said, like, you didn't have to do that, Mum, you know? Mm. And she said, yes. Yeah, Sarifa. She called me Sarifa. Sarifa, yes. I need to do this. You got to bring me this. You bring me that. I need all these things. She's getting me ready. And the things that she needed was holy water. She needed a cross. She had them, but she needed them out where she could see them. Her rosary beads had to be, she had it around her neck. And she also had another one in her hand. So she had two rosary beads. She was always saying rosary. Families would come and visit, like probably same like the apostles, checking on Jesus if he's okay, you don't know what's hurting him and stuff like that. So we're going into Mum's bedroom and checking on her. Yeah, I'm all good, so I'd be right. And I'd be like, oh, gee, you know, I don't know. It was like she was ready. I was scared. Mm. I was so frightened. I was frightened. Patrick didn't know me. He's only a little boy, like 4 years. He was running around, making a big noise, and it was like, Patrick, stop, you know, to make noise. Nana's really sick, you know. And I said, if I write, you know, bring him here. Bring him here to me, you know, like that. She was like that. And Aloysius came in and was saying, you know, Mom, she want Patrick to go there. Let Patrick go there. So Patrick was there, of course, climbing on top of her and on the bed and all that. We didn't know nothing. And Mum was there smiling and bearing, like nothing's happening. But she knew she was going. She didn't have long. And we went on, it was 2 weeks, we went on this journey with her. And that's just like, Jesus getting ready. We were scared, we didn't know what to do, we didn't know who to talk to, and stuff like that. And it's just reminding me like the apostles are following Jesus everywhere. They're scared too because any minute too they could get killed, you know. And like they did, they come up to them and said like, oh, you were one of Jesus's friends, you know. And they said, no, without, you know, they didn't even want to go there. So they were scared. So, but no, Jesus just took it in his stride and he was ready. And he had to. He knew he had to die. And the same with Mum. Mum had to go, you know. And she was more than ready to go. But that's what really struck me, going on that journey. As much as I said, no, that's not going to happen, you know, I was telling her. But she knew already. And then, yeah, of course, 2 weeks after, she went home. And I just stopped and I looked back. And I said, wow, it was such a beautiful journey we had gone with her. So, you know, the apostles must have been feeling like that too, you know, and they look back. A beautiful journey they had gone through with Jesus. And how very calm he was, knowing that he's going to die. And they didn't know he was going to die, but he knew. Jesus knew he was going to die.
I've just come away from Perth, and my beautiful niece has been preparing everybody for the coming death. And it's really hard, but you have to be strong as well to help her to do the things that she wants done, you know. And it's also, it's very taxing or draining of yourself. Like you say, you don't want it to happen, and, you know, but you know it's there, it's going to happen.
Jesus cried, didn't he?
Mm. Yeah. She being very human,
yeah, cried.
It is like Jesus was real, and he lived a life like us. Trying to tell everyone, come follow me. And we today are asking our kids today, grandchildren, you know, we are maybe examples going, carrying on. Come, and because Jesus is there, like he lived that life that we are today. Why are you going to deny or be ashamed like Albert said? You don't have to be ashamed, because Jesus knows your thoughts, everything. Don't be afraid. And he was human. He felt same pains like we do today.
Yeah, he was very human, wasn't he?
And he asked his father to please help me, like, you know, when the stinging stop.
He needed their support and, you know, to be with him, because he was preparing for death, but, you know, to stay awake with him, that was hard for them to do.
That's the bit that struck me too, the staying awake.
Pre-Easter, I think, couldn't even stay awake, like, he was this person, and I know that they weren't in a situation where they knew, you know, what was going to happen and all that Jesus would be, but he was someone who they already held in such high regard and knew there was something special about him, that they couldn't just stay awake. And I think so often in our life, you know, we can use that, not literally being tired, but do we go that extra mile for people? And that it's sometimes easier to metaphorically fall asleep than be the one to stand up. And I'm thinking this particularly in light of the referendum coming up. You know, how many of us are actively going to search out and find the reasons why, the true history, and be brave enough to stand up and promote voting for an Aboriginal voice in Parliament? Because we've got some of our communities who are quite remote who may not even be hearing about this. So how are we who are aware of it and know the impact of what it could have able to go and to wake people up to that, to know, to become informed so people can make decisions about things that are going to affect them? So I often wonder, had they have just stayed awake, would things have been very different in that story? And we know that it was prophecy being fulfilled, so possibly not. Even to have someone beside you when you're going through it, rather than feeling that you were alone in that, I think could have made all the difference to Jesus.
The other thing with the voice I've been working with Dean for since September last year, and it was so fitting to see that all the different churches had gathered this day, Anglicans, another church, us Catholics, to promote the voice. It's just like the 67 referendum, 67, where the churches and the union, you know, they supported us to get that referendum through. And I think the same thing is happening, I don't know about the union, but the churches are all getting together now to support that one voice to Parliament. And those other things, I don't think a lot of people realise, once you've got the voice in Parliament, those other things will come later, like
treaty
and all that, all those other things will happen. Come. This one is likely to cross over, you know, get in where the others are. But he needs most states to vote, yes. Mm-hmm. So that's why we should be voting it amongst our...
Well, and I think there's a couple of things that make me think that, you know, Easter is about the resurrection, mm-hmm. and it's about hope, and it's about new life. And if we look at the sad story of Judas in here, you know, he recognised he'd done the wrong thing. But again, he felt that he was powerless to do anything, so he took his life. Now, I hadn't heard this bit before. As much as I hear this each year, this part where it talks about the field of blood, still called that field of blood to this day. I mean, if we try and make a correlation there, how much blood has been spilt in this land? You know, how many young people, as a result of dispossession and the removal of children, are still experiencing intergenerational trauma and taking their lives? I think this voice to Parliament is a step forward in enabling people to hear some of these truths and to work towards reconciliation for the hope of this country. So perhaps when I look at the story this year and we look at what's happening in our own country, my hope might be that that risen Christ is alive in people's hearts for them to be able to, like all the people here who were mocking Jesus and saying he wasn't who he said he was, let's take ownership of who the First Nations people were in this country and give them their rightful place so that we can move forward together. Would somebody else also like to share about the importance of the rosary in the Kimberley?
My granddaughter, she lives in Darwin. She got a house. She had someone in one of the rooms, a young girl, was murdered in the house, and she was coming to her. She used to have nightmares, and she asked me, what should I do? I said, well, do you say the rosary? I think you have to find the rosary too. She was frightened, yeah, and she asked her, who are you? Where you keep things? And she tried every prayer. She tried every prayer, please Jesus help me, and oh, Father, no, that's not the right prayer. Then she thought about the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
When she said the Hail Mary, the thing was gone.
It's very powerful.
It is certainly, it's powerful prayer for sure.
My mother was ready to go now. She had to go to a brand new day and ready to go. And I was there leaning on the bedside and just talking and just resting. And she was too tired to say prayer or something. But before she died, I found a rosary under her pillow. Either she left it for me to carry on the rosary. And this is the one she left. And my mom, she loved the rosary and always Hail Queen of Heaven, we must say. We must sing the Hail Queen of Heaven every time we go anywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, she loved the rosary.
And you talked there about your mum teaching you that prayer and it was important to her.
Mm.
And you were saying, Peter, in here, you were struck by the fact that women are always present in these moments.
Yeah, well,
what's your thinking there?
Yeah, just the you know, Mary, his mother, of course, and Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of, who was it now? Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, yeah. Always there with Jesus, minding the tomb and being there, and just the strong presence of the women, I suppose. Yeah, how important.
And
women.
Sometimes I think it's very, like now at the moment, it's the women doing everything, and yet we've denied that
leadership.
Yes, the leadership roles are within the church. We do, and we still just plod along. You know,
yeah.
We're still doing it, even though that we don't get the recognition or the bigger parts sometimes that are needed in the church.
Yeah, recently in one of the readings I was saying to Father Jermaine's Kemp last week, it was about Jesus said, I chose you. God chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Oh, that's good. You know, so I better. Yeah.
Yeah, he puts you on this journey. You just have to be open to it. I mean, I denied it for a long time, but now.
Yeah, we all go through that stage, don't we?
Yeah. And, you know, we all, at some stage in our lives, we get way
led.
Well, we're Peter, aren't we? Like, he got so many chances, and he still didn't get it. You know, but then who did Jesus entrust his church to? Peter. The one who kept making the mistakes.
Yes.
And even though when he asked him how many times he loved him, and Peter said he loved him, you know, he didn't love him necessarily the way Jesus was asking him to love him, but Jesus still trusted him with the church. You know, and that's, I suppose, what he does to each one of us.
He never gives up on us.
No, never. Yeah, and believes in us and just wants to have that relationship with us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with this resurrection story that we're going to hear at Easter time, you know, we just hope that it's another chance for one, another new life again in something.
Something.
Yeah, in our relationship with a person perhaps, or a family member, or with ourselves.
Yeah.
Can we end with the Hail Mary? In the name of the Father, and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Immaculate Heart of Mary,
pray for us.
You have been listening to Australian Women Preach, brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. You can find out more about WATAC at watac.net.au and The Grail at grailaustralia.org.au. The music in this podcast is from the song Truth, from the album Into Silence, by songwriter, musician, theologian and teacher Danielle Ann Lynch. You can hear the full version on Spotify.